But they're not there to entertain. They're there to bring the Word of God. They're those who realize the importance of the message that they bring, that those around them are precious souls that need the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, souls heading to a lost eternity if they do not turn to Christ in repentance, because that is what the Word of God says. And therefore, the mission of the Sunday school teacher is an evangelistic one, telling the younger generation of their need of a Savior. One great truth, one obvious truth that should always be before us when we labor among children or adults, but children, is that they have a soul.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. And welcome to our program today. Thank you for joining with us. We're going to go to our pulpit in Cloverdale to consider the message simply entitled The Centrality of Scripture in the Teaching of Timothy. May the Lord bless His word to your soul.
Second Timothy chapter 3, we'll read one verse of Scripture, and it is verse 15. And the apostle says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Amen. Timothy was a close companion of the apostle Paul. In the first epistle to Timothy, he is greeted by the apostle as my own son in the faith. And there was a great connection between the two preachers that traces its commencement back to Acts 16 when Timothy joined Paul on his second missionary journey. And throughout his two epistles to this young man, Paul, the mature and older servant of Christ, desired to impart knowledge to the younger minister. In this third chapter of the second epistle, he warns of the many dangers that he faces in the ministry in the forms of sinful and wicked men, and he exhorts young Timothy to continue in the faith, to continue in the things that he has learned. He was urged to pursue sound doctrine, and Timothy's knowledge of the truth of God, the knowledge of God, commenced when he was yet a child. In verse 15, we see that, "And that from a child thou wast known the holy Scriptures." He was taught faithfully by his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, and this teaching and training was founded upon the Word of God. There is no better training, there is no superior teaching that you could give to your children than that which is found in the Scriptures of truth. Many believe that Timothy, as a young child, trusted in Christ, and some say, well, we think he was a young man when he trusted in Christ and not a child. Whatever the case may be, there was a firm foundation built from his infancy in faithful biblical teaching. And we live in a generation when so many depart from the Scriptures that we must stand for the Scriptures and place the Word of God at the center of our teaching. And that is our thought today, the centrality of Scripture in teaching Timothy. The centrality of Scripture in teaching Timothy. And I have three thoughts that I want to leave with you. Three thoughts that as we think upon the teaching of children and teaching children within the home, within the church, even being taught ourselves, that we would see the importance of these things. And firstly, I want you to see that Scripture was central in the teaching of Timothy, as its inspiration was recognized. Scripture was central as its inspiration was recognized. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Men like Moses and David, who wrote the Scriptures, Peter and Paul, were those who were instruments in the hand of God. We're reminded by the Apostle Peter that the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And that reminds us and instructs us of what the Scriptures are. The Word of the living God, God's revelation to us. And dear congregation this morning, when we think of that, when we think of God's revelation to us, it is something that we must treat with high esteem. It is God who gave us His Word. His revelation, it's a precious word. It's a necessary word. If somebody wrote to you, a friend wrote a letter, a parent wrote a letter, and maybe a spouse, a fiancé wrote a letter to you, and you received that letter, and you ripped it up and put it in the fire, or you ate that letter, whatever way you wanted to treat that letter with disdain, that would clearly show that you have a rejection of that person. You have little time for that person for what they want to tell you. And we often treat God's Word like that. We often fail to read it. We fail to listen to it. We fail to understand it. We fail to commit ourselves to it. And what are we doing every time we fail in those things? We are showing a rejection of the truth of God and its importance to our lives. We are saying to God, Lord, Thou hast given us this Word, but we'll read it when we feel like it. We'll consider it when we feel like it. We'll commit to its ways when we feel like it. And we show a lack of reverence and esteem. But the Word of God is inspired, and we need to understand that God has given it to us, and those who taught young Timothy believed in the importance of Scripture. I read the account once of a young six-year-old boy who came into Sunday school many years ago. He wanted to put a small amount of money in a missionary box, and his teacher says, well, why do you want to do that? And the young lad said, I want to send it to the heathen. And the teacher said, well, do you know who the heathen are? And the young lad responded and said, they are folks who have not got a Bible, and they live very far away. And the teacher said, well, what is the Bible? And the young boy responded and said, it is the Word of God. And the teacher said, well, of what use would it be to the heathen? And the young lad said, it would tell them to love God and be good. And the teacher said to the young lad, who must have at this point wondered what his teacher actually believes, but the teacher was just asking him to see if he knew, where did the Bible come from? And he said, it came from heaven. And the teacher said, was it written in heaven? No, the prophets wrote it, and good men wrote it. And the teacher said, well, if good men wrote it, then how is it the Word of God, and how did it come from heaven? The young lad said, well, the Holy Ghost told them how to write it. Did they see the Holy Ghost, the teacher said? Did he speak to them? No, the young lad said, but he made them think it, and they wrote it down. And such a young lad, he knew the importance of God's Word. He knew that people needed to hear God's Word. And Scripture is God-breathed. And we need to, as those who may not know Christ, those who are Christians, those who seek to serve God, We all need to recognize the inspiration of Scripture, that God has given us a message. God has given you a message in His Word. He has revealed that truth to us that we need to know. And this is what the mother and grandmother of Timothy did. From a child, Timothy was taught the Holy Scripture because they treasured the Word of God. They saw the importance of it. Oh, do you see the importance of Scripture today? Do you live in light of God's inspired Word and God's inspired truth? Secondly, I want you to see that Scripture was central as its importance was realized. Scripture was central as its importance was realized. Timothy had a great privilege here, as those who instructed him in his youth realized the importance of Scripture. They realized that Scripture was able to make him wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Scripture couldn't save him, but it could make him wise, that he would understand the message of salvation. And the Word of God testifies of the only way of salvation through Christ alone. The Word of God shows you your sin. It tells us that we are dead in trespasses and sin. It shows us our need of a Savior and how we can experience salvation. And those who taught Timothy knew that the Word of God revealed the way of salvation. I am the way, the truth, and the life, the Savior said. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And this is one reason why the Word of God is important. The primary reason, it is a Word that reveals Christ, that reveals the only Savior of sinners. If you're in your sin today and you've never turned unto Christ and you don't have the forgiveness of sins, then the message of Scripture is a message you need to hear. It's a message that you have a necessity to hear. It is essential that you hear it because Christ Jesus is the only Savior. Not Christ in this world's ideas, but Christ as revealed in the inspired Word of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said, and thou shalt be saved. And when we think upon Timothy's grandmother and mother teaching him Scripture, Scripture was central because they realized its importance. Do you see and understand the importance of Scripture today? Many will sign up to a creed or confession. I think that is clearer when we look at many churches today. There's creeds, there's confessions, yet those things are not practiced, but they're maybe not even believed. And as Christians, we sign up to follow the Word of God, to obey God, to follow His truth. But we can have the same problem. Oh, we're Christians. We believe in God. But do we see the importance of understanding Scripture, of teaching Scripture, of setting forth the Word of God? Scripture has that authority. But that authority is set aside. It's a sad thing when the eternal and pure Word of God is set aside. And what is it replaced with? It's replaced with man's word. Man's word that is not sufficient. Man's word that is not perfect. Man's word that is not pure. Man's word that is not of God. And therefore, there is this important emphasis here in 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, that Scripture was taught to Timothy because those that taught him realized it's important. Do you realize the importance of Scripture in your home? We think of Father's Day today. Father, do you recognize and realize the importance of Scripture and the centrality of Scripture and how the Word of God is to be central within your home and within your family and to your children? It's a word that is eternal, divine, pure, and perfect. Scripture is central because that message is absolutely essential. See, our Sunday school teachers are not babysitters. That is maybe the problem with children's work today. Some parents see it as a free babysitting service. They want a little bit of time during the week, and maybe there's a children's meeting or a youth meeting. They want a little bit of time on a Sunday morning. Sunday school is on. Let's send the children. We can get our heads above the water. We can get a little peace and quiet. The Sunday school teacher, therefore, then is a babysitter. Maybe there is a little bit of help if your child is in Sunday school, but that is not the purpose of Sunday school or a children's work within a church, to babysit the children. The Sunday school teacher is not an entertainer. I don't know how well our Sunday school teachers could entertain or tell jokes. I don't know. But they're not there to entertain. They're there to bring the Word of God. There are those who realize the importance of the message that they bring, that those around them our precious souls that need the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, souls heading to a lost eternity if they do not turn to Christ in repentance, because that is what the Word of God says, and therefore the mission of the Sunday school teacher is an evangelistic one, telling the younger generation of their need of a Savior. One great truth, one obvious truth that should always be before us when we labor among children or adults, but children, is that they have a soul. They have a soul to be saved. Children can be saved. And what an implication that is. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." I think in the Sunday school or the adult Bible class before our service, I mentioned a little of my testimony. And I came to Christ at the age of 4. And when I was 3 years old, it was just after my 4th birthday, but when I was 3 years of age, I remember hearing the gospel. I knew the basics of the gospel. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I needed to be saved. How did I know that? Well, I knew it from going to church. I knew it from children's events in church that I had attended, even though I was so young. I knew it from within my family. My family were telling me the gospel of Christ. They saw the value of my soul. They saw that, and they believed that children could be saved. And we can think of all the great things and the focus of life that we place upon our children. Their health is important. Their education is important. They may not see those things. Sometimes it takes a lot of effort to get a child to brush their teeth, or a lot of effort to get a child to do their homework and to study for exams in school. They maybe don't see or understand the importance of those things. But those things pale into insignificance when we deal with spiritual matters. Health's important. Education is important. But dear congregation, dear parent, when we think of your children, your grandchildren, the spiritual state of their souls, do they know Christ or do they not? Is that not the most important thing? To know that your children have turned from sin, that they love the Savior, that they are desiring to walk after Him. There is such an emphasis today, even in Christian homes, about doing well in life, doing well in education, going to the best universities, having the best job. And doing well is good to the glory of God and should be encouraged. But the spiritual state of your child is far greater, is far greater. The President of the United States, perhaps the greatest job you could say in the United States, President can die in their sins and go to hell. Someone who works in the lowest job in society, brings in the lowest income, can know Christ as Savior and go to heaven because Christ is the foundation of their life. What life was more successful? History may remember the president, but God knows the name of the one who turned from sin and trusted in the Savior. Yes, there is an importance upon in life and doing our best, but let us not overlook the importance of our children knowing the gospel and believing the gospel because of the importance of that message. J.C. Ryle said of the Lord Jesus Christ, "Although his time on earth was precious, and growing up men and women were perishing on every side for lack of knowledge, he did not think little boys and girls of small importance. He had room in his mighty heart even for them. Suffer the little children to come unto me." And dear believer, taking care of the little ones, taking care of the children spiritually, is following in the example of Christ. He didn't see them as below him. He didn't see them as below the gospel. He said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." Let us not forsake the importance of praying for our children, of praying for our teachers, of witnessing to our children and telling them the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because of the importance of that message. It makes them wise unto salvation. And thirdly and finally, Scripture was central in the teaching of Timothy as its instruction was received. Scripture is the source of saving truth. And we see that. Scripture here is able to make wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Salvation is through faith in Christ. It is the work of God. And Timothy received that instruction and the Spirit of God applied it to his heart in that he turned from his sins and looked unto the Savior. Matthew Henry said, "Bring them to Christ's feet. Bring the children to the feet of Christ by taking pains to impress upon their minds the indispensable necessity of being taught and ruled by Jesus Christ, of their believing his truths and obeying his laws in order to their present and eternal welfare." Timothy was taught the Word of God. He was taught the doctrine. He was taught the teachings. He was taught the application. Oh, the Word of God must be applied. What is the spiritual significance of the story, of the lesson, of the verse we read? How does it show us Christ? How does it remind us of the gospel? Sunday school and teaching our children is not an academic exercise. It's not an academic exercise. It is a spiritual work. And therefore, we need to pray for it and pray that the Lord would indeed help and give strength and that the children would receive that knowledge of Christ within their heart. They would know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Boys and girls, we've heard you sing and recite the various things that you've learned. And it was marvelous. It was really good. But let me ask a question. Are those truths just in your memory, or are they in your heart as well? Do you believe those things concerning Christ and his gospel? Can you say, "This is in my head, I've memorized it, but it's also in my heart because I believe it. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. I turned from my sin. I did what the Apostle Paul said, and I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I was saved." It's not just in my head, but it's in my heart because I love the Lord Jesus Christ because he is my Savior. See, the work of our Sunday school, the work of the ministry, all the work we do for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not academics. It's not head knowledge. It's to be knowledge that is spiritual and found within the heart. Timothy was taught. He was made wise unto salvation. But the word was applied to his heart through the Spirit of God. Oh, that we would desire to teach our children, whether that is in Sunday school, whether that is in other aspects of church ministry, or whether that's in the home. I said during our adult Bible class today, it's relevant for this morning. As we said, the Sunday school teacher isn't a babysitter and not an entertainer. They're teaching the Word of God. But our Sunday school is not a replacement for the teaching of the Bible at home. It should never be. It should never be. We're reminded in the Word of God, Deuteronomy chapter 6, we won't turn to it, but there the children of Israel were commanded to teach the Word of God to their children. They weren't told to set up a Sunday school or a Sabbath school for the teaching of children. They were told to do it in the home. There is a place for Sunday school, but it is a complement to the teaching that should already be going on within the home. The spiritual truths that your children learn, the stories of Christ found in his word that your children know, should be taught within the home. And Sunday school comes alongside to help you, to complement those teaching, to continue that work of teaching that is going on in the home. The parents should never be in the position where they say, "Well, my child goes to Sunday school, or my child goes to a Christian school, and my child goes to church with me on a Sunday, and therefore that's all the Christianity they need." They don't need it Monday through Friday, Saturday and Sunday within the home. It's not what we find in the scriptures. We find that the children were taught in the home. May that be a challenge and encouragement to you to continue to teach the children in the home. I'm praying for others who will come alongside through the ministry of the church or other means to help and teach your children the Word of God, that they would receive Christ as their Savior, that the next generation would be a generation that knows the Lord and knows his gospel. This work of teaching the next generation is so vital and so important. And let us as a congregation refresh ourselves in that today. Let us encourage others to come to our Sunday school. Let us pray for our children. Let us pray for the families within the church. You may be someone within our congregation who maybe doesn't have a lot of interaction with the children of our church, or maybe not a lot of interaction with the families of our church. Maybe you don't know them so well. You should go and tell the children they did well today. You should go and encourage them. But what you can certainly do is to be faithful in the place of prayer for our children and for our families and for the next generation. May we all do so. And may the Lord bless his word for his name's sake. Amen. For you and me.
Spurgeon's devotional today is taken from the book of Psalms, 107, verse 7. He led them forth by the right way. He led them forth by the right way. Changeful experience often leads the anxious believer to inquire, "Why is it thus with me? I looked for light, but lo, darkness came, for peace, but behold trouble. I said in my heart, my mountain standeth firm, I shall never be moved. Lord, thou dost hide thy face, and I am troubled." It was but yesterday that I could read my title clear. Today my evidences are bedimmed, and my hopes are clouded. Yesterday I could climb to Pisgah's top, and view the landscape o'er, and rejoice with confidence in my future inheritance. Today my spirit has no hopes, but many fears, no joys, but much distress. Is this part of God's plan with me? Can this be the way in which God would bring me to heaven? Yes, it is even so. The eclipse of your faith, the darkness of your mind, the fainting of your hope, all these things are but parts of God's method of making you ripe for the great inheritance upon which you shall soon enter. These trials are for the testing and strengthening of your faith. They are waves that wash you further from the rock. They are winds which waft your ship the more swiftly towards the desired haven. According to David's words, so it might be said of you, so he bringeth them to their desired haven. By honour and dishonour, by evil report and by good report, by plenty and by poverty, by joy and by distress, by persecution and by peace, by all these things is the life of your souls maintained. And by each of these are you helped on your way. Oh, think not, believer, that your sorrows are out of God's plan. They are necessary parts of it. We must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom. Learn, then, even to count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. O let my trembling soul be still, and wait thy wise, thy holy will. I cannot, Lord, thy purpose see, yet all is well, since ruled by thee. Thank you for listening to our program today, and we trust that it has been a blessing to you and to your soul. Join us again on Let the Bible Speak. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.